This week's Parsha, Kufsan. This week's Parsha, Parshas Beshalach. Obviously, Klal Yisrael is finally released from Egypt by Paro. Not volitionally. So the Medrash tells us, and it's fairly well known, we're on Kuf Samech, where it says, B'Medrash Rabbah, Rafuna Amar B'Shem Bar Kapara. It's a number of Midrashim that bring this. Bishvil Arba Dvarim Nigalu Yisrael B'Mitzrayim. There were four reasons, four concepts, elements that Klal Yisrael merited to be redeemed from Mitzrayim. Number one, Shiloshinu Et Shemam, that they didn't change their names. They stuck with their Jewish names. Number one, Ves Lashonam, and they did not change the language. They stuck with the Hebrew language. V'lo Amru Lashon Hara, they didn't speak negatively about one another. V'lo Nimtza Beinem Echad Mehem Paros Be'erva, and they maintained the family union. So those were the four milas that merited Klal Yisrael to get out. And as an example of the first one, that they didn't change their names, they maintained their Jewish names. Lo Shino Et Sheman, Reuven v'Shimon Nachtim, when they went down, they had Jewish names, Reuven Shimon Salkin, and they maintained keeping those names, Reuven Shimon Levi. Lo Ayu Koreim LeYehuda Rupa, they didn't change the Jewish names from Yehuda to Rupa.
How does it reconcile with the fact that the 49th level
there's... So, but these were the four things that they stuck with. There's no... The 49th level doesn't mean that you lose everything. These were the four things that, despite the 49th level, they kept with these four things. V'lo l'Ruven, they didn't change Ruven's name to Lulina Loliani. V'lo l'Yosef Listim. Yosef stayed his name, they didn't change to Listim. Listis. V'lo l'Binyamin Alexandri. They maintained their Jewish name. So that is going to be our topic today. The names that we typically have, the names that we typically have, what are the proper names that we should be using? As we know, the people from the Western world oftentimes take on westernized names. We take on the Michaels and the Jeffreys and all of these other names. Stephen, whatever. And our discussion today is going to be, is it proper to name people with secular names? Is it going to be proper when we name our children, for example? If our names are secular, should be those be the names that we go by, or there are alternatives? Somebody who has a name, should they change their name, or should they stick with their name because maybe they're named after somebody else? So that's going to be our topic today. And the bottom line, we're going to see how many people walk out today offended. So that's going to be including myself.
You asked the question about the 49th level. So you see today, there are some Jews that speak Lashon Hara. They don't dress the same. They don't keep the family stuff. And they don't keep the name. So
hopefully we keep putting other things. Hopefully we're keeping other things. Okay, we're on Kuf Samech Dalet. What we're going to do is we're going to dive right into the Achronim on this sugya. Yeah. Yes, we will talk about it in Meretz Hashem. I hope that we will talk. If it's not, it's in here. Remind me. As you know what? I know it's. I wasn't going to include it actually, but I'll try to.
No, I was given two names. One name
was used. Okay, so Rav Moshe talks about this. He says that the times that the Jews, this concept of having two names, even to going by two names. He says the concept there, especially the women, that when they would have to, they would want to sneak out of the ghetto, and if they were only had a Jewish name, it would be difficult for them to adjust. If they said, "Oh, what's your name?" to the interactions with the non-Jews, and they're supposed to be in the ghetto, they're pretending that they're not Jewish, so they would give them one Jewish name and one non-Jewish name. And they would get acclimated, they would get accustomed to both names, and then when they were snuck out of the ghettos, they'd be able to go by that secular name. So Rav Moshe brings that in the context of a sfora. Why would we have two names? Because historically, no one went by two names. You know, Chana Bela and Shpinza Rivka and all these dual names, and it's more of a recent concept. Okay, Kuf Samech Dalet. Initially, we're going to go through the side that it is prohibited to have a secular name, and we're going to bring four reasons brought by the Achronim why it is prohibited. So we're Kuf Samech Dalet, bottom right. bottom right, which says B'maharam Shik Kasav Lahachmir, the Ramaram Shik, and I'm going to give some biographical information because this is going to be important. He lived in Hungary in the 1800s, and the Maram Shik was one of those that really protected Orthodox Jewry against the insurgent Reform Judaism. So the Ramaram Shik Kasav Lahachmir was Machmir to not use a secular name. Mitam Sha'asur Lanalis Damos Lugoyim. It's a prohibition of our trying to imitate the non-Jews. Anyone who uses a non-Jewish secular name, yesh bazeh iser deoraisa. It is biblically prohibited to use a secular name. And he brings the Rambam that talks about effectively chukas agoyim. Chukas agoyim is that we have to go in the Jewish ways, not the non-Jewish ways. And he brings us a pasuk, va'avdil eschem min ha'amim liosli. I will distinguish you. Parshas Kedoshim, I will separate you, Havdalah, make a Havdil, I will separate you from the non-Jews in order to be from me. And the Rambam says, from here, the Sifrei also learns that it is prohibited to imitate the non-Jews based on this. For example, to wear clothing that is endemically, intrinsically non-Jewish is a problem. That's some certain type of clothing that has a non-Jewish concept. That is an Isser D'oraisa. If we go and take on different minhagim of the non-Jews that are intrinsically non-Jewish, that is a problem.
Suppose the Goyim start wearing clothes that Jews wear, and the Jews have to then change their clothes?
No, that we don't say. Rav Moshe has a tshuva on discussing, how about if they start using a certain type of food? If they start using a certain type of food that we eat also, but they use it for idolatrous purposes. It doesn't make the food problematic. V'lachein hu adin v'kol shekein da'asur lanu lihidamos lahem bishmam. Certainly, to take on their name, and a name defines our essence, it would be included in the biblical prohibition of avdil eschem minamim. Now, he says something very interesting, the Maram Shik. He says, if you look historically, and he's writing in Hungary in the 1800s, if you look, avoseinu, our ancestors, they were segregated, they were disgraced, they were downtrodden by the non-Jews. And nonetheless, despite that, they maintained their identity and they were excited to maintain that identity. They looked at it as a very positive thing and splendor that they maintained their Jewish names. And he says, nowadays in Hungary, nowadays that the galus is lighter upon us, it's not as extreme. Jews are advancing in society. They're advancing in the economy, whatever it is. We are no longer disgraced and downtrodden. And despite that, we don't maintain our names as we could more easily. We are quickly adjusting and adapting and taking on non-Jewish names.
But he's talking about post-emancipation, right? When people have to take secular names of some sort.
I don't know.
He doesn't mention that.
He says they are volitionally taking on. He says they're taking on. We're now, it's easier for us. We're not downtrodden, and they're changing their name and they're changing their language in order to be not like the non-Jews. Okay, so the Mishnah Halachas asks the following question on this Maram Shik. Maram Shik says that's included in the Nisr D'oraisa that we have to distinguish ourselves and we take on non-Jewish names. We're not distinguishing ourselves from the non-Jews. He says that if you look at the definition of Chukas HaGoyim, we can't go in the non-Jewish ways. The Maharik says that to violate that prohibition is either one of two ways. And this is how we paskin in the Beis Yosef, and this is how we paskin in the Raman Shulchan Aruch. Number one is doing something that is a chok, something that is intrinsically non-Jewish, that the non-Jews do, and there's no apparent reason for it.
Purpose of that is for Avodah Zarah that they do, or for
reserving
God.
It doesn't matter. Meaning, if there's no rational basis for it, the concern is it could be Avodah Zarah. But independent of that, you know, knock on wood, all this stuff that is black cat walking, don't walk under the ladder unless it's really because of a sakana. But because of the superstition, all this narshkeit is a chok. something that has no rational basis for it would be us or an Isser Doraisa b'chukosam leitalecho for us to do it, to put up a Christmas tree, to have reindeers in our sukkah, whatever.
Is it like French fries?
That's pashut. That is mutter.
If you think Christmas trees are pretty, you think
but it's also an objective. It's also an objective. That's a mitzvah mitzvah rice to eat burgers. No question. So he says...
Red shoes, black shoes,
that's a different issue. That's talking about the shoelaces. But that's a different issue. Related issue. So he says that's one way to violate if there's no apparent reason for it. And number two is if it violates the norms of tznius. He says taking on a non-Jewish name does neither of those. So how can we say it's chukas agoyim? So the Mishnah Halachos from Menashe Klein passed away recently. He says no. The Maram Shik is not saying it's a violation of chukas agoyim v'chukas lo teilechu. He's bringing a different pasuk. The avdil eschem min ha'amim, and this is something that if you take on a non-Jewish name, we are no longer distinguishing. It's a different pasuk, different related issue, related prohibition, but not the same. That we are no longer distinguishing ourselves from. So here we have basis number one. Maram Shuk is saying to use a secular name is an Isser Doraisa of the Avdil Eschem Min Ha'amim. Okay, next. Kuf Samechei, left side towards the bottom, the last paragraph. Reshut Maharsham. Maharsham lived in Poland in the 1800s into the 1900s. He passed away in 1911. So the Maharsham says as follows. Reshut Maharsham Kasav Lahachmir Mishum De Meshanish Mo. Anyone who changes his name, uses a non-Jewish name, is preventing the gula from coming. Where does we get that? That's how we started this year. That one of the four reasons that Klal Yisrael got out of Egypt was because they maintained their Jewish names. And here we see somebody who doesn't keep a Jewish name is preventing the gula from coming. So what was the question? There's a very interesting question. There was a lady who donated her handiwork to the shul. What she did was the amud, where the shliach tzibur davens, she needlepointed it, or sewed it, I don't know if it's needlepoint or sewed, or however she put it together, beautiful, silk, hand-embroidered, it says, said on a keser Torah in Hebrew, usakabu barachem ivrazon estila seinu, beautiful psukim, beautiful handiwork on it, all in Hebrew. The problem was, and the complaint was generated, that she wrote her name, her goyish name, Hungarian name, and it was written, not only the name was in Hungarian, but the text, the writing, was in the letters of Hungarian also. It wasn't in Hebrew, it was Hungarian. So two strikes. People started complaining. You wrote your non-Jewish name and you wrote it you didn't write it in Hebrew. So the Maharsham brings the Maram Shik. And the Maram Shik, his question related specifically to Matzevas. There was a Matzevah. This is a very famous tshuva of the Maram Shik, because he talks about the Matzevah was written in non-Hebrew. The Matzevah also had Goyish dates on it. So that's a whole nother sugya, to use non-Jewish dates on a Matzevah. You're saying it from when Yeshua was born, and not, but it's a different sugya. That will leave aside. So he thinks the Maram Shik says it's an Isser Doraisa to use secular names, and the basis of the Maram Shik was he brings the pasuk Va'avdil Eschem Min Ha'amim. So the person writing the shaila to the Maharsham says that maybe this is different. It's not a problem because there's so much Hebrew on it anyway. It's not like a total disgrace to Hebrew and the Hebrew language, because everything's in Hebrew, but just her name is in Hungarian and the writing is in Hungarian. So Kuf Samech Vav, second paragraph, which starts the Heshiv, top of right side, Kuf Samech Vav, the Heshiv. So the Maharsham answers as follows: Deem Tafra et Shema Kifishu Balashon Hayivri. If she wrote her name as it is in Hebrew, her Hebrew name Rivka, Virakshak Savu Hagari, but you just wrote it in, let's say in English, it's easier to say, R-I-V-K-A. You wrote it in the English language, but it's her Hebrew name. As yesh makom letzad elahatir. Maybe we can then be mako because of the reasons brought by the person who was asking the question. The rest is in Hebrew. What's the big deal? Aval im shintet shema. But if she changed her name, betziga osa bikinu kifishi kore ma'akum. You put on a secular name as people are knowing bismanazeh hareish yesh baze puko mirshol lios bichla ma'ak ve'agula. You're included in somebody who's preventing the gula. He brings the Yerushalmi. Any generation that the base of mikdash is not built in is held responsible as if they destroyed the base of mikdash. So this is somebody that is contributing to the non-coming ma'ak of the geula because she's using a Hungarian name.
How could you say that this geula from Egypt is the same as this
geula? We'll get into it. It's good. But more important is the concept. You want to say maybe that was specifically for them? We'll talk about it at the end, Mir Tzishan. Okay, so that's what he brings in the Yerushalmi. So the Marsham says, my Eitza, he says, this is a problem. So we have now a second reason, a first reason by the Maram Shek was because the Nisr Dereis to use a second name because of Avdil Eschat. Now we have the Marsham bringing a second reason that it's Ma'akev Agul, somebody uses a secular name. We know this Chus is the Hebrew name that they got out of Mitzrayim. Somebody uses a secular name is Ma'akev preventing the Gula. So his Eitza is you got to remove that part of the needle point beautifully. It had a tremendous value, and he says that's going to be too difficult to remove that yiriyah, that area of it. So another thing like a patch. Thank you, that's the word. Sew a patch with what it should say that it's dedicated by Rivka Reish Bet Kufay, and put it on top. And he says you don't even have to sew it all the way around. You can just sew it on the top on the side, so you don't see the Hungarian writing anymore.
What about
so,
what you did to her by doing this? How you made her feel?
We're trying to find a nice solution. We have people complaining; they don't even want to have it in the shul, and it could be that it represents the Mr. Doraisa. So we need a solution. So it's the same. We want to keep it. We'll just put a little patch on.
She probably did it so people would know that she did it. Then soon they don't know
who she did it. Okay, so in any case, and even if it were simply that you used the wrong text, you said Rivka, but you spelled it R-A-V-K-A in Hungarian, he said even then it would be worthwhile to cover it up. But certainly if you're using the non-Jewish name, it should be covered up. Okay, we have two reasons so far. It's a problem using secular names. And the first Yud Maram Shik says it's an Isser Deraisa. Next, the Maram Shik continues. Back to the Tshuva of the Maram Shik. Kuf Samech Vav, left side in the middle. The Baram Shikasad Lahakshar of Bnei Adam Shemachani Matman B'Shem Agoyim. How can people go by a secular name? There's a Gemara in Yuma Yudlamet Chesam Abes that says the Asur Likros B'Shem Ishu Rasha. It's a prohibition to call somebody after a Rasha. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says Zecher Tzadik Liracha. We should name after a Tzadik V'Shem Rishayim Yirkov. And the name the Gemara makes explains what that means. It's the name of a Rasha should rot. What does that mean? Rashi explains that just like when you have metal that's not used over time and not polished, what happens?
Rust.
It becomes rusted. So too, a name of a Rasha should become rusted. In other words, it should not be used. So he's saying here, how can you be named after a non-Jew? It shows that anyone who's being named after a non-Jew is showing that that's more chashuv to us than naming after a Jew. That's what the Maram Shik says. Now the Mishnah Lachas explains this to make it a little bit more palatable, because it sounds like it's calling every non-Jew a Rasha. He says that's not the concept. The concept here is whether the person is Jewish or non-Jewish. If the person is a Rasha, we can't name after the person. Jewish or non-Jewish, doesn't matter. That's
even
not the
in
name.
Hebrew, you don't
want to
name.
Even in Hebrew, if the person is a Rasha, that's not a name. Now he says, so how about non-Jews that are tzaddikim? He says, listen, the concept of somebody, a non-Jew, is a non-Jew to be proper has to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. A non-Jew, if they're not keeping the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach for the right motives that God gave the Torah, and that's why they have to keep it, and God gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, then it doesn't exist. To find an Isaac, have you ever met a non-Jew that keeps the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach because God gave the Torah to the world?
The true B'nai Noach.
So
as Rambam says, you have to do it for the Shem Shemayim.
Right, you have to do the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach for the right purpose.
Right.
The Rambam says it doesn't exist. Now, I once heard Rabbi Fran give a shir, and I don't remember what the shir was on, but he mentioned that he had been contacted by a group in the south of America, and they wanted to keep them, and they wanted to make him their Rav.
Wow.
The Rav of the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, because they were doing it for the proper purpose. Yeah. So I guess that's a little bit after the Maamshik in the 1800s and in the 1900s, the 2000s. That's maybe who contacted him. It does exist, but for the most part, it doesn't exist. So Kuf Samach Zayin, right side, the last line on the bottom. Kuf Samach Zayin, right side, last line on the bottom. Aval imishu kara libno b'shemakom. Somebody did name their son after a non-Jew. Afilu Rasha bizmanas. Even if you named after him a Rasha, you shouldn't have done it, but they did it. But that person with the secular name was Chozer B'tshuva. That person, his name, give me a name.
We had Nimrod, and the guy in our yeshiva was named Nimrod.
Yeah.
And we took him to Moshe Spirit, and he changed his name to Avraham.
Give me a name. I don't want to offend anyone here, but choosing the wrong name here. Is any Michaels here? Okay. Michael. All right, no, it's a secular name. But it's Yonatan, so it's the same issue. So
Robert.
It's Robert.
I can't be offended.
What?
Richard.
That's Shemershaim Yerka.
Richard. My second name is Richard. My Hebrew name is Moshe.
Okay, so Richard. So somebody names after Richard. Secular name. This Richard is Chozer B'tshuva. Richard passed away. He was Chozer B'tshuva because you want a name after. There's a baby that's born. You want to name it after someone who is a kosher. That cleanses that name, even though it's a secular name, but there's a mila, there's a real advantage, a benefit of naming after an ancestor, a parent, a grandparent, and that person was Chozer B'tshuva. That is a proper name that can be used. So the Mishnah Halacha says, L'fi zeh, we're Kuf Samach Zayin, second paragraph, the left side, second paragraph. Based on this, maybe we can say that many of the Jews that are taking on non-Jewish names, it's because they had a real reason to do it. They were naming after someone who used that name. Somebody was a Shomer Torah Mitzvah. It's not that they simply wanted to imitate the non-Jews. So if that's the case, even though it's a secular name, it would be permitted. Even though we would say typically that name is Shemer Shaim Yerkov, it's a secular name. It should be it shouldn't be used. It should have the rust on it. But if there's a beneficial reason for naming the person, then that would be appropriate. And what was he named? Okay. So we have three reasons right now why to not use a secular name. Number one is based on the Maamshik Ba'avdil Eschem. It's imitating the non-Jews. The second reason why we said that it should not is Me'akev Agula. It's preventing the Gula. That was the Zchus that we got out of Mitzrayim. We kept the name. Now we have number three because of Shem Reshaim Yerkov. If it's a name of a secular name, it shouldn't be used. And number four, Rav Shlomo Kluger brings a Rabbeinu Tam that says he's discussing in a Gemara in Gittin the use of non-Jewish names in a get, and he says that a non-Jewish name Chas V'Shalom should not be used in a get. Chas V'Shalom. Rav Shlomo Kluger refers to that Rabbeinu Tam. It says so too. It shouldn't be used. Why shouldn't it be used in a get? Because it's not a proper name. So too, it should not be used. It would be a prohibition based on the Rabbeinu Tam to use a secular name. Okay, four reasons.
The person is by an English name. His name was Robert, let's say. And Robert, the Hebrew letters on the get. That's his only name.
No, but the name is still, it would be in Hebrew. Still, Rabbeinu Tam would say
probably. What are you supposed to do?
Did you write supposed
to do? That I don't know. Chas v'shalom to use it. Chas v'shalom to use it.
What are you supposed to do?
Are you saying Lemaisa will get into it? Well, we'll get into it in a little bit. Hold it, it's right now.
If that's a person's name, that's what you have to use.
We'll get into it right now. Next step. Very good. So far, many people have a problem. I remember growing up, and we used to talk about the Rabbanim. And somebody's like mentioned, like, oh, his name is Jeffrey, and his name is. They all had English names also. They didn't go by it, Chasvishalom. But when they were born, you know the Rabbanim, it was this rabbi was really, his name is really Jeffrey, and his name is Philip. And this one.
I see those names from a lot of those rabbis. On their Jeffrey.
Their secular name on it.
Still exists.
Oh, that's right. and these are the rabbis, right? These are
the Moshe Kolin. The last name, which is distinctly Jewish, modifies those.
No.
His name is Jeffrey Goldberg. So
No. No one distinguishes like that. No. Okay, so the Chassam Sofer, writing in the 1700s and 1800s, this is relevant to time periods. So he says as follows, one page, Kuf Samech Ches. He was asked as follows, there was a woman, I'll just say it out loud really quickly and then we'll look inside it a little bit. He said there was a woman who was born and she was given the name Levia. Levia means lioness, right? Levia. And and at that time, what they used to do is people used to take on different names, Goyish names. So she did. I was born Levia. I want to go by a non-Jewish name. And accordingly, she took on the name Lani.
Lani? That's my brother's name.
Lani. It was her name.
Lionel.
Okay, so it's Lani. Non-Jewish name. Non-Jewish name, Lani. And now she's about to get a divorce. And the question that was posed by the Chassam Sofer is, what name should we use in her get? What name should we use in the shtar? So he says as follows: bottom right corner. But Kasav Chassam Sofer, the Yesh Lichsav Levia Hamechuna Lani. You should use both. You should use Levia, the name she was born with, and her nickname, or she is commonly referred to as Lani, the secular name.
Because you have to identify the person.
Upashut Yosef, it's obvious that Tzorek Lahaskir Hashem, Shigila Atzma Befiko. Obviously, you have to use the name that she goes by because people have to know who identified this get with this individual. And he says even more, the Chassam Sofer continues, even more so, if you didn't have her secular name, the get would be not kosher, but if you just had their Jewish name that is not used, maybe that's even okay. So if you left out Levia, her Jewish born name, but if you had and you had Lani, that would be okay. But ideally, put both of them in. But you certainly, says Chassam Sofer, you need the name that she's used. So he says, so how about the Rabbeinu Tam that says Chas v'Shalom, we should have a secular name. In a get, how can you use a secular name in a get? So he says that Rabbeinu Tam was saying that name that when somebody rejects Judaism and he goes to another religion, becomes a Christian, he says, as a rejection of Judaism, I'm taking on this name. I want to name myself Luke. I want to name myself Peter because I'm going to the dark side, whatever it is. So he says, that's what Rabbeinu Tam was saying. When you take on a name to represent a rejection of Judaism, that's what Rabbeinu Tam was talking about. But the Stam, a secular name, that's not what Rabbeinu Tam was talking about at all. And he says...
Certainly not if you were named by your parents. That could never be.
But he's saying, certainly, we're going to... Jonathan is pointing to three steps, which we'll get to.
Yitzchak Tzvi
is pointing to three levels, which we'll get to at the end.
I know about you, it was a divorce in Jerusalem. They spent 3 days figuring out his name and 15 minutes for the get. Because he was called nicknames in America.
Right. So he says, this Rabbeinu Tam, you know, it says the Chassam Sofer, I really don't understand this Rabbeinu Tam. Because is a get something that's Kedusha, that we can't have a secular name in it? Even if it's in the name of rejection of Judaism. The get is not a star of Kedusha.
But standing in Shemayim, does Shemayim recognize the second name?
The point of the get is you have to know what it's talking about. The status is that people know. Well, let's worry about down here. That people have to know what it's talking about.
So he says,
I don't get the Rabbeinu Tam at all. Even if it's the name of rejection, I don't get it, but let's certainly not add and expand to Rabbeinu Tam to regular secular names. There the Chassam Sofer says, I see no problem with having a secular name. So it comes out, as Yitzchak Tzvi was saying, that there are three levels. based on the Sam Sofer. Level number one is a name that was given, Ishkach, a name that was given by parents, even a secular name, at birth. Not a problem based on the Sofer. Sam Sofer. Parents gave it, secular name, at birth. Okay, no problem. Somebody who takes on, was given a Jewish name, but takes on a secular name in order to be more, not as a rejection, that's level number three. To take on, I want to be like the non-Jews, that's not the right thing to do, but it's not a disaster. Not a disaster, not a disgrace, not, but it's the wrong thing to do. But level number three is, and this is what Rabbeinu Tam was talking about, somebody who takes on a name as a rejection of Judaism, that is a disaster. That is totally unacceptable. Okay, so here we see from the Chassam Sofer that a Stam secular name, certainly when named by one's parents, wouldn't be a problem. Certainly not unless it's a Raisa, not Me'akav Agula. What was that?
The other three reasons, though, you said it was no good. So this, you said there's no problem. There's a girl whose name is on the cover.
Let's see if we can settle all four at the end. It's a very, very good ha'ara. Let's see if we can get through that. Okay, so the Mar Shtam. This is going to be very important for us because the Mar Shtam lived in the 1500s. So this is the earliest of the poskim that we're referring to, because we've been dabbling in the 1800s and the 1700s. The Mar Shtam is a very early Achron, 1506 to 1580, and he says as follows: we're in Kuf Samech Tes, right side, the second paragraph. It says, "Gam b'shut Mar Shtam shayami rishone Achronim nisha bedavar ha'anusim shebao mi Portugal ha'anusim." Those that were forced to convert, and they came from Portugal, that was in Portugal. They had non-Jewish names. And they came and they were Chozer B'tshuva. So they're coming and they're changing the names to Jewish names. The problem here is they have to write letters back to Portugal, either to the relatives there or to the people that were managing their finances, and they would only acknowledge them, they'd only have validity and recognize them if they used their prior secular name. And Rav Moshe has a Shaila, which is more contemporary but very relevant to what Stevie was saying, that what happens when somebody has to apply to schools and their transcripts are all in their English name or their checkbook or their passport had their English name on it, and then they go and they have to use the passport, and then they have to get a plane ticket, and it's a like a train reaction. Then you open up a bank account and everything has to match with that original passport. My brother, his name is Noah. He had a big problem because his passport said his English name, Seth. He didn't even know it was his English. He knew it, but he's like, Seth. He hated the name. Mamish hated the name, Seth. My name is Noam. He went through life, everything called Noam. And he started having problems. He started having problems because he only wanted to be named Noam, but the passport said this, and the bank account was supposed to be this. So he said, I'm going to change my name to Noam. I'm going to change my secular name. He went in front of a judge. He decided what you have to do in California. You have to go through the legal process. He goes in front of the judge, and the judge looks at him and says, so you want to change your name to Noam, N-O-A-M, from Seth? And my brother says, yes. You have to be represented by an attorney also. So I think Bob Millman was there or something. So he says, the judge says to my brother, is somebody forcing you to do this? Like, who would ever change his name to Noam? What a crazy thing. So that's a contemporary example of what's going on in this Mar Shtam that they have to use. They were Chozer B'tshuva, they're using their Jewish names now, but they have to communicate back with people who only knew them by that name, and it only had validity and authority in dealing with their finances then. So one of the rayas that the Mar Shtam brought, that there's no problem using a secular name, is a Gemara in Gittin. And the Gemara in Gittin talks about, on a high level, when a get comes from outside of Eretz Yisrael, comes to Eretz Yisrael, you have to see, is this get valid? The assumption is the get valid, but the problem is that the edim that are signed on have goyish names. How can we accept it? Do we know that they really check them to these people if they have goyish names? How can it be that the goyish names? So the Gemara says that the majority of people in Chutz Lars, at the time of the Gemara, the majority of people in Chutz Lars have goyish names. The majority of people, and even in Eretz Yisrael, the whole difference was not that in Eretz Yisrael there was nobody with goyish names. It was simply outside of an Eretz Yisrael, the Rav had the majority of goyish names. In Eretz Yisrael, it was a minority had goyish names. So we see from here, says the Mar Shtam, a proof that it's not a problem. Because if it was a problem, the majority of Jews wouldn't be naming themselves after secular names. So he says we have a proof from the Gemara that there's not a problem having a secular name.
Hey, name Assyrian conquest.
But did they check? They're saying, did they really check? How come? Because it's a riot against it, right? It's a glorious name.
No, it's cocky. Only the Eden Assyrian.
Yeah, but who? But
yeah.
Assuming when it was right, enough. Okay. So to continue, he says here the whole chumrah of the poskim, yishna adam atzmo v'gufo bifnei goyim. So the problem here of having a goyish name is when you have a goyish name to try to pass yourself off as a goy. But here, these people that are sending the letters, they're in Portugal, they're coming from Portugal, they're not trying to pass themselves off. That's what they need to do. Whether people say they're Jewish or not Jewish, that's not their issue. Their intention is not to tie themselves. So here, the Mishnah Halachos makes a very interesting point. He says, we have a Marashtam here. The Marashtam was an early Achron, living in the 1500s. We have a Maram Shik that says having a secular name is an Isser Del Reis. The Marashtam says it's not a problem. The issue is, how do we paskin? If we have an earlier posek and a later posek can disagree with the earlier posek. Fine. They're both achronim. The Maram Shik can disagree the Marashtam. Marashtam says it's not a problem. Marashtam says it's a problem. But the problem is the Maram Shik didn't quote the Marashtam because he never saw the Marashtam. He doesn't reference the Marashtam. And if that's the case, when you have a later posek who misses, didn't have access, didn't see the tshuva to an earlier posek, and somebody who as great as the Marashtam was looked at as one of the Gedolei Ador at his time, we cannot paskin like the Maram Shik, because we have to assume that had he seen the Marashtam, he would have agreed with him. So the Mishnah Halachos comes out saying that this Marashtam, if we look at the chronology, being before the Maram Shik, 300 years before the Maram Shik, and it was missed that we would paskin like the Marashtam and not the Maram Shik. Okay, so right now we've gone through two shitas. Shita number one is the Machmirim, the Maram Shik, and others saying that it's an Isser D'oraisa, or it's Ma'ak of the Geula, Ma'abdil Eschem, Ma'ak of the Geula, Shemir Shan Yirkov, it's based on Rabbeinu Tam, Chas Rishon, to use a secular name. And then we've seen some the Chassam Sofer saying it's not a problem having a secular name, and the Marashtam even earlier saying it's not a problem. Now we're going to look at a middle area, and we're going to get into a little bit more detail on what type of names we're talking about. We're going to look at Rav Moshe Feinstein, more contemporary. Rav Moshe Feinstein, so Kuf Ayin Aleph. Kuf Ayin Aleph. Moshe is a clean name. Moshe is a proper name.
It's an Egyptian name, though.
It's not an Egyptian name. So Kuf Ayin Aleph. Kuf Ayin Aleph, we are on the right side where it says B'shut Igros Moshe, towards the top. B'shut Igros Moshe Nishal Im Mechuyav L'shano Shem Laz. Do you have to change a secular name L'shem B'lashon HaKodesh to a Hebrew name Shekore L'bito Hashem Imo? He, the man, named his daughter. He named his daughter after his mother. In other words, after the daughter's grandmother. But I named her Lonnie, Elaine, whatever it is. I named her a secular name, but it's after a family member. Do I have to change it because it's not a Jewish name? So Rav Moshe says as follows, V'kasa b'tshuva sosham, sha'afshu davar maguna, even though it is a disgraceful thing, li'kare b'shem laz eino iser, to be called by a secular name, it's not prohibited. On the spectrum, there's good, right? There's Usser, and in the middle, it's not the right thing. It's a Dover Maguna, but it's not Usser. He says to use a secular name is not Usser, but it's not good. It's negative. Shelachen Chazinan, Shekama Shemo Shalaz, Mikol Medina Medina, Nasu B'meshach Hazman, Degalus Arach, Shenit Chava Medinas. He says, look in history. As we see, as the Jews have gone into different countries, various secular names have been adopted by us in every country we've been at. And he says, look at the Rishonim, look at the Gaonim. The Rishonim talk about Gaonim that had, he brings the Magid Mishnah. What's the Magid Mishnah name? Vidal. There's a street here, right after Ramban, not Abarbanel, going in the other direction, called Ben Maimon. Ben Maimon is the Rambam. Maimon is the father. That's not a Jewish name. That's a secular name. He brings many examples of secular names that have been accepted into Klal Yisrael. So he says, V'lachen, bottom right paragraph, V'lachen kasav dein l'shanah v'kro shem b'no o'shem b'ito. You should not change the name when you have named them after an ancestor, because there's a mila to, even though it's a secular name, there is a mila to name after an ancestor. So that would take it out of being a davar maguna. It would take it. It's not a disgraceful name. If you use a secular name, naming after a parent, grandparent, great-grandparent, that would be acceptable. But what are the ideal names, says Rav Moshe? Kuf Ayin Aleph, left side, towards the top, where it says, Ulam. Ulam Kasev Dim Leka Shum Tam Lashum Shem. If you have no other reason that you have to use a secular name. Yesh Vadai Libchor B'Shem Echad Mehanevim V'Hatzid Tzadikim Shebkrai. You should be choosing one of the Nevim, the Tzadikim that are written in the scriptures. That is somebody we should name after. Or the Mishi Karnuhu Bedorze, somebody in your generation, could be a prior generation also. Letzadik Vigaon Va'afshu Chai. Somebody who's a tzadik, somebody who's a gaon, even though he's alive. I'm about to finish the biography of Nosson Tzvi Finkel. Unbelievable individual. Great Talmud Chacham, but a great person, unbelievable person. That's someone we would name after, somebody in our generation who has that milah, those unbelievable milahs. That's a wonderful thing. So Rav Moshe says the top level is name after a tzaddik, somebody in the psukim, somebody in the scripture. Well, we wouldn't name Nosson Tzvi Finkel, but that would be an example of somebody. That's the top level. So we're going to piece together Rav Moshe's shita from different tshuvas. So the next tshuva, Rav Moshe's son,
Maima, who named Maima.
So we're going to get back to this. How about the names that got accepted, secular that got accepted into society? So next question, Rav Moshe was asked, how about if you have a name that is a non-Jewish name, but it's a targum, a translation of a Hebrew word. And the example, the person writing to him gives an example of Vidal is Tsarfati, is French for Chaim. Okay? So it's really Chaim, but he's called Vidal, but he's Chaim, right? That's in French. So is that a problem? So Rav Moshe says, you know, a couple points. Point number one. Chaim?
Chaya Vidal.
Chaya Vidal. Okay. So he says, point number one, you want to say that because there's a translation of the name, so in France, but look, where are they using the name Vidal? They're using it in Spain, not in France. They're not really deferring to the French translation there. So that's point number one. And point number two, you want to tell me that if you have a name, just because it has a translation in Hebrew that makes it a good thing, it'd be like saying lion. Oh, lion is Aryeh, so that's a good name. So Rav Moshe doesn't buy that. So then he continues, Elahai is at bottom left, Kufali and Aleph, bottom left paragraph, Elahai Azem Yishuma Sviva Shebegalus. Rav Moshe says, why did all of these names creep in? Vidal and all this. It's because we were living amongst the non-Jews, and it's the impact. When we were in different countries, we started speaking their language. We started writing in their language. The Rambam wrote many Sfarim in Arabic, not in the Hebrew, because that's the language that people would understand. And the same thing when it comes to names, the names, when you get familiarized with the language, that's something that sounds nice to you. Jeffrey, Michael, sounds great, that's English, right? It sounds very palatable to us. But when I hear a French name, right, Olivier, I can't barely say it because it's not something that I got used to. Very difficult for us because it's from a different language, a different country. So he says all of these names from different countries got taken in because those are the names that sounded nice to us because we spoke those languages. So then he gets into Yiddish names. So same thing applies. Yiddish names, beautiful. Sprincy, Beryl.
Sprincy, Esperanza.
Esperanza. Chai is Hebrew. No, but Pearl. So all of these beautiful Yiddish names. So Rav Moshe says, where did those come from? Those are German. Those aren't Yiddish. Those aren't Jewish names. Those are Goyish names that we took on when we were in Europe and we were in Germany That was the language with German. We started speaking Yiddish, but those were the names that we took from the non-Jews. Those aren't Jewish names, says Reb Moshe. So he says, the Muchachim Liten Shem Yulia. So, okay, if we have to name her after it, it's the same category as if somebody is named Perel or Sprinkle or whatever it is, we want to name after because of an ancestor, but those are also secular names. It's not that, oh, everything is Yiddish, is Kaddish. It's not, it's as Reb Moshe says. So the person who wrote the Shiloh to Reb Moshe says, you know, I think it's really that those are Yiddish names. Those were always Jewish names in Yiddish. Those weren't Goyish names. Reb Moshe says, don't change the Metzius. That's just not true. Those are Goyish names. Those were German names. The Jews took it on. Don't change the Metzius. Right?
Putin says, you know, all the European Jews can go back to Russia and they'll all be safe.
It was a nice invitation. I hope they stay safe. So Kufay and Beis, left side. The next question that Reb Moshe was asked, the Gabe Shemus, where it's left side, Kufay and Beis, left side, where it says Od, towards the top. Od Kasavikros Moshe. Legabe Shemos Shekfar Hushku B'Yisrael L'Chashivu Shemos Yisrael. Names that have been accepted into Klal Yisrael. But they're not intrinsically Jewish names, but they become accepted. Kvar Matzino Arbe G'dolei Yisrael Shenikru B'Las. Many G'dolim are called by secular names. Kamo Bear. Great Jewish name. It's not a Jewish name. It's L'Dov. Dov is Hebrew. Bear is not Hebrew. Wolf. Sorry. Ovelvo. V'Lozev. Right. Velvo. Great Jewish name. It's a Goyish name. Umendel, v'lo Menachem, v'leib, v'lo Aryeh, those are all Goyish names, but they've been accepted into Judaism as Yiddish, glad kosher. V'af elu sheshmam ha-kodesh Yehuda, nami harbe shenikru b'shem Yehuda leib. It's God inside, Yehuda leib. Wow, beautiful Jewish name. Yehuda's Jewish, leib's not Jewish. Nami harbe shenikru b'shem.
That's right, change it to leib.
Yehuda leib. Oh, very, very good. Leib. Very good. Made it a vase instead of a base.
I read the sefer before.
Karino San Rak Bashem Leib, and they only go by Leib. And they're very frum. I have a cousin named Leib, right? It's very frum. It's a Chukoyish name. Uchadome Harbe Shemos Lekashum Kpedi. He says, but even though it was secular, we're not going to be makbid on those names. Me'achar Shekvar Hushku Shemos Eilab Yisrael, because once they've been accepted into Klal Yisrael historically, V'nechshavu Shemos Yisrael, they are considered Jewish names. But if you think about it, we're trying to build the Shita of Moshe, top level is the Nevi'im, the Tzadikim, in Scripture, Gedolim nowadays, the Nasan Svi. Those names are the top. Secular names that have been adapted into Klal Yisrael historically, there's no Kapeda. It's not there's a Maila if to be named after an ancestor, even though a secular Maila, but otherwise to have a secular a name that's been accepted, it's not a Maila, but it's not Treif.
Unless it's the name of one of the Tzaddikim.
Unless it's because then it becomes, then it bumps right into the top tier.
Like Menachem Mendel.
Then it drops into the top tier.
But what
Yitzchak Tzvi is saying is that if it's something that even though it's a secular name, but a Tzaddik has it, Mendel, Menachem Mendel.
You have to
right?
have a Kavanah.
So if you're naming after anyone's going to name after it. Kavanah, Mushka, same thing. That's Kavanah. That's for sure Kavanah. So now he says something shocking. And this is when I know I'm going to get offended when I leave here. So he says, Ubichlal B'Shemos Aryeh. Everyone have it? So names like this, Aryeh, Dov, Ze'ev, Avshen. Everyone have it? Kuf, Ayin, Beis. Third, second, left side that says Ubichlal. Ubichlal b'shemas Aryeh, Dov, v'ze'ev, Avshen milos to lashon hakodesh. Even though these are Hebrew words, Avshar ein ze shaychus la'achshivam shemas to kodesh. It doesn't make that a kodesh. Maybe it doesn't. As adjectives, as adjectives, not as nouns, not as nouns.
That's what she said. Kachayos hena when. Delivering the children, the midwives, says
Kechayos.
Kechayos.
Kechayos. Nowadays, when you call somebody a chaya, it's not a good thing. Shilachain.
She said.
So that'd be the same. That'd be the Aryeh Zev Dov. That's a Hebrew word. Gila, Rina, Ditsa, Vachel, Va'ava, Va'achva, Shalom, Reis. So some of them are better than others. Shalom, Hashem, Hashem. But can you, if you somebody's named Shalom, there's a tshuva's on, can you call him in the bathroom? Because Shalom is Shem Hashem. It's very interesting. Can he go into the bathroom at all? Shalachain. I didn't see anyone ask that question. Shalachain. Lo adife meshemos alas. These names, the Leib, Bear, Wolf, there's no better. Aryeh, Dov, Zev is no better than the Yiddish names. Then the secular names, because they're just Hebrew words. V'rak elu shenim tzu b'kray. This is top tier. If it's found, names found in scripture, shayach lachshivim shemos tekodesh lamal yusa. Those are the positive names. Those are the top tier names. But if it's just a Hebrew word, if it's just a Yiddish name that's been accepted, those are all parv. That's neither here nor there. Those are parv, not davar magudi. So
it obviously doesn't hold that it's va'avdelastav. Because if he held va'avdelastav, these are noticeably Jewish names.
Correct. Because that's correct.
Right.
So Rav Moshe then
name a kid for in my wife's family. There are a lot of Tzionis, so they name kids for mountains and things like that.
That's in the steer. Awesome. It's like the name of Ra Zeven Dov. Right. It's all Nebuch. So the Igrish Moshe has another tshuva, and he was asked as follows. This is fascinating. So Yiddish has been accepted. Those are good names. Those are great names. But English, the Jeffreys, the Steves, the Michaels, all of these names, the Roberts, the Allens, my English name. So how about no one knows that? I think my wife does. But all of those names, the Seths. So that's not as bad. And then we're talking about the real English names, the real secular names. So the person asking the question through Moshe says those should be problematic. Because these are secular names. They're not Yiddish. They're not these beautiful Yiddish names that have been accepted by Klal Yisrael. So the person who poses the question through Moshe says, I see a difference between them. I think the English names, the Western names, should be problematic. Yiddish is not a problem. So Rav Moshe says there's no difference between them. Whether it's Yiddish or English, you want to tell me that the difference is because one was accepted longer ago and one has now been accepted? He said, either way, when people started using those names, they should have been told, don't use those names. Because those are not Jewish names, those are secular names. Be it Sprinza or Hendel or Mendel or whatever it is, those are Goyish names. They weren't told off. Those names did get into use, so they've been accepted. We can start using them. So you want to say, so the English names, that it's more recent, and we should have, where are you going to draw the line between what we should use and what we shouldn't use, and how long ago it should have been rejected, and how long ago it wasn't rejected? So Rav Moshe says, I don't see any basis for distinguishing between a Yiddish or an English name. He puts them in the same bucket. He says it's the same thing. There shouldn't be a kapeda. Once it's been accepted, it's not a davar maguna. It could be used. Not the best. It's not top tier. It's not the tzaddikim. But it'd be fine. So he says, kufayin gimel, bottom right. Kufayin gimel, bottom right. Mitzat etzem adavar shemeshanim eshemoseim, neshemos nochrim. This concept on a conceptual level that we're changing names to have the goyish names, vadai hu davar maguna. Me'od. It is a terrible thing. Ma'achar shechazal shibchu zeh, because chazal Makiv Gula, Chazal did say we should be keeping the positive names, the Jewish names. This is one of the reasons why we're taking out Mitzrayim. However, there's no Isra. Now, he says here that it's similar. One of the other four things is Shaloshinu Islashonam. They didn't change the language, they used the Hebrew language. Will we say that anyone who speaks English is an Isra Doraisa? That it's not the right thing. We should be speaking Hebrew. Ashir azet zorich liot be'ivrit. Right? It should be in Hebrew. Okay, we're not going to do that. But he says it's a mitzvah to speak in Hebrew. It's a mitzvah to have the Jewish names, but it is not an iser to not have it. So that's where Rav Moshe comes out, that there wouldn't be an iser to speak, there wouldn't be an iser. And once it's been accepted, it's no longer even a davar maguna. But if it's not been accepted, we shouldn't be adopting those names. Okay, so somebody brought the svar before. I think Yaakov, I don't remember. Maybe it's maybe that this whole concept that the geula only applied back then, only applied to get out of the dock. So it's only to get out of there. But nowadays, what do we have? We have the Tarig mitzvahs. We have the Doraisas. We have the Doraisas. That's what we have to keep. But this thing, Rav Moshe says, maybe this doesn't even apply at all. That it was for them that they were there, but for us it doesn't. So in the end, Rav Moshe says, Mistafina lomar zeh, below Rayas Gedolos. I'm scared to say such a thing. Rav Moshe says, although maybe there's a svara like that, no one else says it. So Rav Moshe says we can't bring the svara as a basis to be mechalek. We see still based on Chazal that the importance of sticking with the Jewish names. Okay, two last points, and on this we're going to close. That one point is where Moshe was asked the following question. There was a certain Orthodox rabbi in the United States of America, and he went by his name Norvit. Is that a name anyone's heard of before? Norvit. Nun vav resh vav vav yod tes. Norvit. Norvit. Yeah, I think
okay.
So that was his name. It's Kuf Ayin Dalid, second left side. So it's an Orthodox rabbi. Everyone used to call him Norvit. He went by Norvit. And he asked the question. He says, how about Kibbutz Avayim? It's not a Jewish name. I could change it, but that's what my parents married me. So isn't there a name? Name me. So isn't there an Indian of Kibbutz Avayim? So Rav Moshe says, there's no Indian of Kibbutz Avayim. You should change to your Hebrew name, not your English name. And he says, people shouldn't be mocked, aren't mocked about this. That's also the name that they gave you when you're breast. But even if not, you should go by your Hebrew name. And he says, even if your parents are mockbid, yeah, he doesn't say that. He said we could say that because that's an isser. That's an isser. This is not an isser per se. So that yeah, but he's saying it's not an isser. That's what we say. When there's an isser, we can't. But here he doesn't bring that story. He says, batla datum. We should, because people objectively shouldn't care about this. If they do care, we're mavata. We're not going to pay attention to their subjective hakbad on this, because normally people wouldn't be makbid on this. So he says there's no inyan of kibbutz avayim. You can change and should change to your Hebrew name. The last point that he has is not so the maisa nowadays, but there are many amoraim that were called in aramit, in Aramaic names. Rav Papa, Rav Zvid, Mar Zutra, Rav Mar Kashisha, Mar Yanoka. So many of them, so aren't those secular names that they shouldn't have gone by? He says it could be that Aramaic is different. We see that there's Aramaic in the Tanakh. We know that the Aramaic in the Gemara, Bavli and Yushalmi, the Kaddish, which is on a very powerful level, Aramaic is a very powerful tefillah. So he says it could be that Aramaic is different, having an Aramaic a name that's in Aramaic, Aramaic, would be kosher. Would be kosher. We wouldn't even do the analysis that it's secular.
The Malachim don't understand Aramaic. Remember, we learned that in
Right. Okay, so Lamaisa comes out like this. We've gone through the connection to the Parsha is fairly obvious. Vahi b'shalach, we got out of one of the four things that we got out is because Shaloshinu v'shamam, and we went through three different main shitas. We went through the Machmirim, we went through the Maram Shik, who said that it's Isser Doraisa about Abdil Eschem. We brought four reasons to be Machmir about Abdil Eschem, like a quasi chukas agoyim. We went through the second reason was because of Ma'akav HaGeula. Reason number three was because of Shemer Shaim Yirkov. We can't be named after anything secular. Number four is based on Rabbeinu Tam saying that how can you Chas V'Shalom have a secular name and a get? On the other hand, we went through the Matirim. The Matirim was Chassam Sofer, didn't see a problem. If it's just a secular name, it's not indicative of somebody rejecting Judaism. We could say that this may be a bigger problem being named Peter and Paul and Luke. Although I do know some Orthodox Jews named Paul, not Peter. I do know Peter. I take it back. But not Luke. The Chassam Sofer and the Marshtam even earlier didn't have a problem with it. What we're talking about is a name of as a rejection of Klal Yisrael, but a Stam secular name wouldn't be a problem. So we have the Machmirim, even saying it's an Isser Dereisa. We have the Mekilim. In the middle, we have Rav Moshe Feinstein, who has this whole level of analysis. On the highest level, we have the Nevi'im, the Tzadikim brought in the Psukim. We have Tzadikim in a given generation that were naming after. Those would all be the Galat closure names. Also a positive thing, even if it's a secular name, is naming after a family member. And then he got into the areas of names that are parv. Hebrew words like Aryeh, Dov, Zev, Yiddish names and English names Rav Moshe put in the same bucket once they've been taken on. It's not Dov or Magun anymore, but still, if there's no reason, we shouldn't be naming using those secular names. So that's where the posting come out.
Is that the same regarding the Shonam also? It's Makir, the Gula. We have four items.
You know, I started looking into that once. And the post games, I don't remember the sukkah. Yeah, I do remember saying that there is, and Rav Moshe here, he says,
they're all four.
Mitzvah Ladavar B'Lashon HaKodesh. They're different, because one of some are Yisurim. Like, they didn't speak Lashon Hara. It's an institute to speak Lashon Hara. They weren't priests.
Yes, right.
So those
the
are it. But these two, the first
two,
two Rav Moshe says it's a mitzvah to daven b'Lashon Hara.
Right,
it's
right.
A
but is that mocking the gula? Is the over b'chuko sendo to
him? You know, I don't remember. I don't remember well.
The whole deeper
I don't remember. I don't remember. So I just don't remember.
Rav Moshe spoke Yiddish, though.
What I do remember is more of the positive side of things, but the focus wasn't on the negative thing. Because it's tough to tell people that you're mocking the gula. That's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Okay, quick word on Parsha. Listen, the Rambam wrote in there. We have to speak in the language. Good, the Gedolim have to speak in the language that people understand. Quick word on Parsha. We have the Kriyas Yamsuf in the Gemara that says that that earning as a parnasha is kashek or Kriyas Yamsuf. Earning a parnasa is as difficult for a Kaddish Baruch Hu as splitting the sea. And we really have two questions. Number one, what's the comparison between Kriyas Yamsuf and earning a parnasa? That we say it's earning a parnasa is kashuk Kriyas Yamsuf. And question number two is there's nothing hard for a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Kriyas Yamsuf wasn't hard for a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So why? We'll have a different answer. So why would we say kashuk Kriyas Yamsuf? It's not kashuk at all. So the answer, this is my answer, it goes as follows. No, and I'm going to expand it. Masal HaMelech says this, but I actually thought of it, and then I saw it, and I'm going to expand upon it. He says as follows, what's the concept of Kashuk Kriyas Yamsuf? That a Kodesh Baruch Hu sometimes says, I'm not doing anything until you take the first step. Until Nachshon walked in to the Yamsuf, and actually made a real effort, had to go all the way up to his eyeballs, had to go all the way up, other way up to his neck, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not gonna help. Once you show you're making an effort, then I'm going to assist you in doing. But until you make the effort, I'm not going to do anything. So that's the concept of Kashuk Kriyas Yamsuf, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's hard for me, because I'm relying on you to take the first step. And when that's Kashuk for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the same thing, that's the parallel for a Parnasa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you're not going to make the effort, a real effort to make a parnasa, that's Kashuk Kriyas Yamsuf, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to do anything until you make the effort. You're not going to win the lottery unless you buy a lottery ticket. So if you make a real effort in earning a parnasa, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to assist you. But until we make that real effort, it's not going to happen. So there's one other thing that Chazal say is Kashuk Kriyas Yamsuf, and that's Zivugim. Zivugim. Now, I think I saw in the name of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, I'm not sure, that he explained it as follows. Zivugim doesn't mean shiduchim. It doesn't mean setting somebody up to date. Zivugim means not only that, but ongoing marriage. And he says, that's kashuk kriyas yamsuf. What's the concept there? That if you're not putting in your effort, if you're not working hard at it, even after 20, 30, 40 years, just like a company can go bankrupt, a marriage can go bankrupt because it takes that ongoing effort. It's not only setting up, but that ongoing effort, that's Kashuk Kriyas Yamsuf. And why is it Kashuk Kriyas Yamsuf? Because the Kriyas Yamsuf is depending on us to put in the effort. Have a good shot.
I have to say,